I'm entitled.
You want answers.
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
The FBI continues to misuse its authority under Section 702 of the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act. You would think we'd be going after foreigners, but we are using the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act to go after Americans. As we observed and was done with individuals participating in the George Floyd protests, unconstitutional access to Americans' activities was instituted against those in the George Floyd protests. DHS warned of violence from Americans who questioned the efficacy and safety of the COVID-19 vaccines and protested government overreach associated with pandemic mitigation measures. These agencies, charged with protecting the security of our nation, targeted parents who protested restrictive COVID-19 policies at school board meetings and labeled Catholics as potential domestic terrorists. It is hardly a surprise that the faith of Americans in their government is dwindling.
Not only dwindling, in many cases, it's simply missing. Americans having faith in their government is not near as strong as it should be, but there's good reason. Because you've been lied to, you've been deceived, you've been ordered to do things that you thought were not good for you or your family, and if you didn't do it, you were punished. And if they could find any way to link you to any crime of whatsoever that might fit their political weaponization, they would do so. That was Senator Rand Paul today, speaking in a Senate committee hearing on dealing with the renewal of Section 702, which is part of the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act. I'll break it down for you in more detail shortly. Here we are, October 31, 2023. This is the second hour of two of Larry Connors USA Back-to-Back, reminding you we're here for you Monday through Friday, 6 to 8 p.m. every evening. Some stations that were competing against us have just basically folded up their tents. You know, they can't compete, and that's because of you sharing the word that this is where you need to be listening. And, of course, if you miss anything, you can always go to LarryConnorsUSA.com and pull up previous programs. That includes video, because we are streaming video when we're on the air. You can see the video at Larry Connors USA Facebook and Twitter, or News Talk STL Facebook and Twitter, or on Rumble. I'm glad to have you watch, listen, however you choose, when you choose, and always share with others and continue to support the sponsors who make this program possible. So the misuse of 702 is what Rand Paul was referring to. If, according to a co-op that appeared in the publication The Hill this last August, a new report confirms what national security leaders have long warned. If Congress fails to reauthorize Section 702 of the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act, FISA, and the U.S. stands at the brink of a self-inflicted national security calamity. In other words, if they don't reauthorize it, we're at the brink of a self-inflicted national security calamity. And the study by an independent group of intelligence experts called the President's Intelligence Advisory Board did not mince words, quote, "History may judge the lapse of Section 702 authorities as one of the worst intelligence failures of our time." Well, I got to tell you right now, there have been a lot, there have been several intelligence failures we've seen, and I'm not sure how this would rank among them. And I'm not so sure that these independent group of intel experts know what they're talking about any more than those who signed off, all 51 of them signing off and saying that the laptop is Russian collusion and Trump has been involved in it, so forth and so on. Without ever seeing the laptop, without ever reading anything from the laptop, they just simply signed it. Just as simple as signing up to buy your girls Girl Scout cookies. That's what they did. The Section 702 of FISA, they're pointing out here, is critical before the national security law expires this year. That's why they're holding the hearing today. Section 702 authorizes the intelligence community under court supervision to target communications of non-Americans located overseas. The law ensures that the government can quickly obtain critical intelligence while protecting the rights of Americans. Allowing Section 702 to lapse would return our country to a time when we were blind to grave threats in time to counter them. Now, again, that's part of the op-ed that appeared in the Hill publication this last August. In part, I agree. Same thing that in part I agree with the Patriot Act after 9/11, that we need to do a better job, have our intel agencies work together, share the information, and that, yes, there are some people that maybe we need to take closer looks at. But you do not want to go down that slippery slope of giving up your rights as a U.S. citizen. I had the opinion, I still do, that, look, you check my records all day, you're not going to find anything. I don't care. But then if I offer to do that, then that puts someone else in jeopardy that maybe they, if they don't offer because they don't think that's what they want to do, even though they're doing nothing wrong, suddenly they're suspect. And that's what Rand Paul was talking about as he was addressing the opening for us today, saying that the FBI has weaponized 702 and the American public does not have the confidence in the government and its agencies as it used to. Response from Christopher Wray, FBI director on 702.
I think it is our shared responsibility to make sure that the FBI's men and women have the tools they need to keep us all safe. And indispensable in that toolkit against foreign adversaries are the FBI's FISA 702 authorities. It would be absolutely devastating if the next time an adversary like Iran or China conducts a major cyber attack, we don't see it coming because 702, one of our most important tools, was allowed to lapse. Or, with everything going on in the world, imagine if a foreign terrorist overseas directs an operative to carry out an attack here on our own backyard, but we're not able to disrupt it because the FBI's authorities have been so watered down.
Now, those are good points, except that, remember, FBI agents were lying to the judge signing off on the FISA warrants to carry out wiretaps against enemies of the Biden administration and Hillary and anyone else on the left. They lied. They knew the Steele dossier was fake. They knew there was no credible evidence, but they lied to the federal court to get by with it. And who's been held accountable for that? No one. It's also true that if we're going to maybe be surprised by an attack that we would have found through 702, that would be a bad mistake. But we've got the biggest mistake going on at our southern border. We are allowing people to come into this country unvetted, and we have no idea what their intent is other than what they say. Senator Rand Paul's point is solid. We need the law, but we need proper use of it. That's the issue. And the FBI Director Wray admits that we need it maybe more now than ever.
We assess that the actions of Hamas and its allies will serve as an inspiration, the likes of which we haven't seen since ISIS launched its so-called caliphate several years ago. In just the past few weeks, multiple foreign terrorist organizations have called for attacks against Americans and the West. Al-Qaeda issued its most specific call to attack the United States in the last 5 years. ISIS urged its followers to target Jewish communities in the United States.
And they have. And in fact, they are doing the same elsewhere across the world. In fact, some Jews in Germany are thinking, should we get out of Germany? I mean, that's what they're beginning to fear. And we told you about the plane that landed at a Russian airport, and they knew it came from Israel, and the crowd showed up waving PLO flags, yelling to get the Palestinians or Jews that were on the plane, checking their passports to see if they were of either Israel or Jewish directly. So, yes, there's fear. And the threats are increasing, as the FBI director pointed out. And it's not just around the world, according to the FBI director.
Here in the United States, our most immediate concern is that violent extremists, individuals or small groups, will draw inspiration from the events in the Middle East to carry out attacks against Americans going about their daily lives. That includes not just homegrown violent extremists inspired by a foreign terrorist organization, but also domestic violent extremists targeting Jewish or Muslim communities. We've already seen that with the individual we arrested last week in Houston who'd been studying how to build bombs and posted online about his support for killing Jews. And with the tragic killing of a 6-year-old Muslim boy in Illinois in what we're investigating as a federal hate crime. But as I said a few moments ago, on top of the homegrown violent extremists and domestic violent extremist threat, we also cannot and do not discount the possibility that Hamas or another foreign terrorist organization may exploit the current conflict to conduct attacks here on our own soil.
They do not need to extort the current conflict in Israel and Gaza. They just need to get inside our country, which this administration has allowed them to do. And then they will exploit whatever they choose, whenever they choose, and against whatever target they choose. That is what they call in a crime fiction book where you're led to believe that this guy must be the villain. It's a red herring to point to Israel and Gaza, saying that that conflict might spark the same kind of thing here. Now, some might claim they're doing it for that reason, but if they were not allowed inside the country, if we knew who the hell they were, and we'd close the border immediately after Israel was attacked, then we'd have less to worry about. But even as I speak, they're coming across the border, and more will be coming. The more likelihood that they think they will close the border, well, we better get across now. Now, there are those who are coming simply to have a better life. But there are also those coming not to assimilate, but to destroy our nation from inside out. And if the FBI director is concerned about those U.S. targets, look to the south, sir. Look to the border and what's coming across.
As the world's largest state sponsor of terrorism, the Iranians, for instance, have directly or by hiring criminals mounted assassination attempts against dissidents and high-ranking current and former U.S. government officials, including right here on American soil. And along those lines, Hezbollah, Iran's primary strategic partner, has a history of seeding operatives and infrastructure, obtaining money and weapons, and spying in this country going back years. Given that disturbing history, we are keeping a close eye on what impact recent events may have on those groups' intentions here in the United States and how those intentions might evolve.
Wisconsin Senator Ron Johnson had a question for the FBI director on that very issue about your concern, and yet look what's happening at the border.
What are you doing to track these people and investigate the potential threat?
So we are tackling it through a variety of means. There are some categories I would put kind of in the terrorist watch list category, and there it's our joint terrorism task forces that are working with partners throughout the law enforcement community to try to identify.
How many agents do you have tasked to investigate potential terror threats coming into this country and those 6 million people, and particularly the 1.7 million gotaways? How many agents are on investigating that flow of illegal immigrants?
Well, I don't know that I can give you the exact number, but
ballpark.
Let me try it this way.
Is it 100? Is it a couple hundred? Is it, I mean, just a ballpark?
Well, I would say we have several hundred agents who are tackling the threats that come from the border, both from a national security side, a counterterrorism side, and from an organized crime or violent crime side.
So how does that compare to the number of agents you had on, for example, investigating the January 6th protesters? How many agents, at the height of that investigation, how many FBI agents were assigned to that task force?
I don't have exact numbers, but what I would tell you is that I feel relatively confident that the number of agents working on threats that are attributable to the border far exceeds the number of people working on the January 6th.
He said relatively confident. Good God, man, you're the head of the FBI. You don't need relatively confident. You would know there's nowhere near the number that we're looking into January 6th and what we have looking into the border crossings and what's happened to those people. That's your answer, Christopher Wray. That's your answer. I'll write it out for you next time. Turning to the Israeli-Hamas war as it stands right now. Untold or dead, including civilians in Gaza, Palestinians, Hamas will not let them leave. And the war is not easy.
The military agenda is going to be prioritized right now in the short term over all other agendas, which means ultimately these different agendas, all the way from the tactical level to all the way to the strategic level, they're non-compatible, which means ultimately this will be very messy, as no matter what decisions are made, there will be room for criticisms globally. But ultimately, if you are Netanyahu, you're going to prioritize that military agenda and your end state over everything else.
And that's just obvious. That's a retired Green Beret Colonel, Dale Bucker, saying it's going to be messy, but you got to do it, and you're going to make the priority dealing with what's on the ground in front of you or under you in the bunkers. One source who had been inside the bunkers described them as horrifying, scary, dark, claustrophobic. Not a place many of us would want to go, but that's where Hamas is hiding, with civilians and hiding some of their weapons, and often under hospitals, knowing that Israel will not directly attack a hospital. Senator Ted Cruz the other day just introduced a resolution to stop all money in any form going to Hamas. That means money that would go to Iran that might in turn filter into Hamas. He says we as a nation need to be very clear on this point.
One of the really dangerous developments we've seen in recent years is the rise on the radical left of a blatant hatred for Israel and a naked anti-Semitism. The Squad, they despise Israel. You saw it right there. And we see this anti-Semitism on college campuses across the country where Jewish students are being threatened. It is wrong. In my view, we ought to be clear and unequivocal. America stands with Israel, period. These terrorists are monsters. These are war crimes, and Israel has a right to defend itself.
Yes, but what we're hearing from the left is, well, a war crime against a war crime should not be carried out. In other words, they would have Israel just sit there and suffer and deal with their losses, mourn, grieve, hold funerals, and then try to continue life. Coming up, more on how the Biden administration has contributed to the Hamas attack, and Mayorkas and this issue of the open border on point with Josh Hawley. Lock and load, ready on the right.
You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
I want to share something special with you. I've told you how Wellington Environmental works to keep hospitals, schools, businesses safe for their patients, students, clients, employees. Wellington can do the same for you. Perfect example. A relative went to the basement, almost knocked over by the smell. A sewer line had broken. A call to Wellington, a crew was dispatched. First thing, make the home safe. Then clean up the mess. Truly clean it up. I'm telling you this because I want the best for you. Wellington Environmental. Here's the number, 314-644-4930. 644-4930. AAA rating with the Better Business Bureau. 644-4930. Wellington Environmental. Your world. Cleaner, better, safer. Be well with Wellington.
Talk radio made in St. Louis.
Very excited for what you guys are doing for the St. Louis community.
For St. Louis.
Relevant local talk.
Saying what we are thinking.
This is News Talk STL.
No, you guys are awesome. I love you. And it really, it's a tremendous honor to be on the station.
News, analysis, and opinion.
Thanks for covering the local and global.
People, this is America.
We better open our eyes.
Really local, really good.
News Talk STL at 101.9, 94.1
and NewsTalkSTL.com.
As a truck driver, I've learned how important road safety is. I know that large trucks need more time and room to stop. That's why I always hang back and follow other vehicles at a safe distance. Everyone can help keep our roads safe. Next time you're driving, try to remember to always give trucks extra space when you merge in front of them. Let's all plan to share the road safely. Learn how at www.sharetheroadsafely.gov.
This is Christina Strait with Strait Realty reminding you why pay more than four. In 2003, we had a dream to start a real estate company that would revolutionize the real estate market. Now, 20 years later, after navigating through the many markets' ups and downs, we know exactly how to help you in this challenging time. I'm Christina Strait, owner of Strait Realty. Don't give away your hard-earned equity. Give us a call today, 314-441-4444, 314-441-ALL-4s. And remember, why pay more than four?
Strait Realty is a licensed broker in the state of Missouri.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
What about people who say things like, on October the 7th, F Israel, I'm cleaning up the language here, F Israel, the government and its military, are you ready for your downfall? People who say things like, F Israel and any Jew who supports Israel. May your conscience haunt your dreams until your last breath. Palestine will be free one day. F apartheid, Israel, and is any Israeli. What, this is pretty extreme rhetoric, don't you think?
Senator, I do, and I think there is a distinction between espousing or endorsing terrorist ideology and speech that is odious, that does not rise to that level.
Fair enough. This person works for you. This is Nuja Ali, an employee of the Department of Homeland Security, who posted these comments on October the 7th.
Wow. Yes, Senator, I consider those remarks really obscene and shouldn't be done. Well, this person works for you. Now, granted, there was Josh Hawley quizzing Alejandro Mayorkas, Department of Homeland Security. It is possible he did not know that this guy worked for him. It is possible he did not know those remarks were made. But what do you think he's going to do about the guy now, if anything? If he's going to follow the lead of the squad and the way they've been reacting to anything that we try to have passed simply to condemn Hamas for the atrocities they carried out, that's worse than the actual language the guy was using in his comments he posted. We're talking about actual murder, slaughter, and dismembering and killing and raping and burning people. And nine Democrats would not even endorse a resolution condemning that action. So Mayorkas has this guy in his own employ, and he makes these remarks, which are obviously beyond the pale, if you want to use that phrase, other than being sick and filled with hate, venom. And even Mayorkas agreed, did he not? Yes, he did. But then Hawley said, this guy works for you. Oh, we're not done with this conversation.
Mr. Secretary, what's going on here? Is this typical of people who work at DHS? This is an asylum and immigration officer who is posting these, frankly, pro-genocidal slogans and images on the day that Israelis are being slaughtered in their beds. What have you done about this?
Four things I'd like to say to you. Number one, your question to suggest that that is emblematic of the men and women of the Department of Homeland Security is despicable.
Number I'm sorry, two, what have you done? This person works for the Department of Homeland Security. Have you fired her?
That was one of four answers.
Have you fired her?
One.
Have you fired her? Don't come to this hearing room when Israel has been invaded and Jewish students are barricaded in libraries in this country and cannot be escorted out because they are threatened for their lives. You have employees who are celebrating genocide, and you are saying it's despicable for me to ask the question?
Of course it's not. Isn't it amazing how you get them into a corner and they start wobbling around, maybe rolling over, legs in the air, like, I'm dead, don't hit me anymore, when they're really not. Alma Yorkos, I'll help him answer the question. I'm afraid I'm going to have to step forward and help him just like I did the FBI director. What Mayorkas should have said, you know, that is not emblematic of our entire operation, but that is uncalled for, and it will be dealt with, and I will give you a written report on what we do with that employee. Would that be so hard to say? Yes, it would be hard to say because they don't want to do anything like that against folks that might have friends among the squad. This hatred that we've allowed to fester in this country, and you're going to hear it all the time about anti-Semitic, but then what you hear from the squad is, oh, we got to worry about Islamophobia. They will preach from every corner about Islamophobia. But anti-Semitism? Just throw it in the gutter and move on. I remind you again. The other day we had a resolution, a bipartisan resolution, presented by House Foreign Affairs Committee Chair Mike McCaul, Republican of Texas, Ranking Member Greg Meeks, Democrat of New York. It said it affirms the U.S. commitment to Israel's security, including through security assistance, and calls on all countries to unequivocally condemn Hamas's brutal war. It also condemns Iran's support for terrorist groups and proxies, including Hamas and Palestinian Islamic Jihad, and calls for full enforcement of sanctions on Iran. Nine Democrats voted against the measure. Usual suspects. They voted against it. They would not condemn what Hamas did. We know that one of them, being followed down the hallway by a reporter at one point, it was a Congresswoman Tlaib being asked repeatedly, could you at least say that you're against chopping off the heads of babies? Are you against that? She said nothing, not even no comment. She just kept walking like if I act like I didn't hear it, I'm clean to go. There's no way you could justify that kind of action. You cannot justify it, any action like that taken against someone of Muslim ancestry. The killing of the six-year-old the other day, horrific. And yes, it was a hate crime. But they are so slow to react if it's an attack upon Jewish students at a college or when a plane lands in Russia from Israel and PLO demonstrators rush out onto the tarmac, force their way onto the plane, wanting to look at passports, find out if anybody is Jewish. I don't hear any of these progressives say anything but Israel shall cease bombing Gaza, should cease bombing Gaza because so many civilians are being killed. That's not the intent of Israel. It's to get to the vermin that lie in the tunnel and use humans as shields. Then, of course, the other issue we have, as we were discussing in the previous segment, our open border policy. If we have a terrorist act inside this country, and if we do our due diligence and track it properly, you're going to find out that that terrorist and some of the cohorts with them originated from some other country and had just come through our border because it was open for everyone. And to that point, Senator Johnson of Wisconsin questioning Mayorkas.
I need numbers. Again, don't filibuster me. How many people has this administration let into the country?
Let me say at the outset that our job would be a lot easier if the broken immigration system was fixed.
Mr. Secretary, I want a number. How many people have you let into this country?
I should also
I'll give you the number. It's about 6 million. About 1.7 million as known gotaways. Now, again, we don't know who these people are. We just know that they've come to this country and they're residing somewhere. Where are all these people residing? Where did the 6 million people go?
Senator, you speak of encounters, and
my questions. Where did these 6 million people go? Are you keeping track of them? To what extent do we have a handle on where these 6 million people are in America?
Senator, as you well know, when an individual is indeed released, they are released into immigration enforcement proceedings and are subject to removal if they do not have a legal basis to remain in the United States.
You're not answering the question. Where do these people reside? We know we've got about 100,000 in New York, and New York Mayor Adams says it will destroy New York. That's, by the way, less than 2% of the 6 million people. So less than 2%, 100,000 is going to destroy New York. What's happening around the country? I'm not going to get answers from Secretary Mayorkas.
No, you're not going to get an answer, and what you do get, you can't count on as fact and credible. Again, I give the man a pass that he did not know that this one person had written this post that Holly pounded him with, but then he would not say the man will be dealt with. And in this case, I give him no credit for any answer he gives because he's allowing this open border. That's why he doesn't know how many are there. They don't have any track of them. They estimate, and their estimates are way below, not even counting the getaways. And then again, they don't know where they are in the country. FBI Director Christopher Wray admitted that as well. We don't really know where all of them are. But I'll bet if you were on Capitol Hill on January 6th, they'll find your butt. They'll find you quicker. By the way, as we told you the other day, Marjorie Taylor Greene of Georgia had introduced a censure resolution against Rashida Tlaib because she was criticizing Israel. So far, I don't see any votes taken on it. She's still trying to force a vote. I don't know what the delay is. Coming up, I'm going to turn to another subject, and this will involve you and your family because you had concerns about COVID. There's a new study that says 1 in 3 COVID-19 vaccine recipients suffered neurological side effects. Stand by.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at Larry Connors USA.
This time of year, heavy rains, high winds, they can hit. And if you have any loose shingles, even the smallest hole in your roof, you're taking a major gamble with your biggest investment. I can tell you from personal experience, do not wait until you have water where it shouldn't be. Don't forget that John Beale has disaster crews, which can at least cover your roof until the damage can be fully repaired. Homeowner, business owner, call John Beale. 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF. Ackerman Toyota has the 2024 models. You're going to be impressed. Check them out in person at Ackerman Toyota, Hampton and Interstate 44. In fact, you've got to see the 2024 Toyota Sequoia. Very impressive. This is the time to buy and get top dollar for your vehicle. Looking for pre-owned? Ackerman Toyota can also help you. Ackerman Toyota at Hampton and 44. AckermanToyota.com. Ackerman Toyota for life. This is a scary time when it comes to your money, especially if buying a home. That's why you need Homestead Financial Mortgage. I know the owners, met the team. You can trust Homestead will be with you every step of the way. Call 24/7 with any question or concern. Homestead is on your schedule, not banker's hours. This is not just about buying a home. It's about trust. You can go to my website, larry.homesteadfinancial.com. larry.homesteadfinancial.com.
The United States Deputy Sheriff's Association is a national nonprofit and the largest non-governmental provider of services to law enforcement. The USDSA assists city, county, state, and federal agencies with free safety equipment donations and officer survival training, along with cash donations to families of law enforcement officers who perish in the line of duty, a citizen awareness program, and more. For more information on United States Deputy Sheriff's Association, please visit usdeputy.org.
If you like premium cigars and whiskey, I've got the perfect place. Lit Cigar Lounge, now open in its new space in the district, just off Highway 40 in Chesterfield. Lit Cigars for anyone who enjoys great cigars, whiskey, bourbon, tequila. Ladies, that includes you. Leather seating, numerous big screen TVs, special events featuring live music and tastings. More details at litstl.com. litstl.com. Lit Cigar Lounge in Chesterfield.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
All right, I want you to take this study I'm going to share with you with the understanding it is a study. It was published in Epoch Publication, if you follow that. So there you can also look it up yourself and get more details. It's not being shared by me to frighten you or anything, but it's just, again, more indicators and evidence coming forward that maybe the original COVID-19 shots were not, one, either necessary, and two, more harmful than what we were led to believe. We've already had numerous questions raised about myocarditis, especially among children, that would be enlarging the lining of the heart and in some cases causing severe illness, if not death, for children and well-conditioned athletes that suddenly had myocarditis. This, again, is an Epoch Publication. And it says, one in three COVID-19 vaccine recipients in the early stages, when they were issuing them, suffered neurological side effects. They suffered from headaches, tremors, muscle spasms, insomnia, sleepiness, vertigo, difficulty in concentration. Now, that's quite a basket of ailments that you might have had in one way or the other. Could it be traced to COVID-19 shots? A doctor would have to make that determination for you. But it says about a third of the individuals who received the vaccine did suffer from these. This is according also to a recent study published in the journal Vaccines. Now, it analyzed 19,096 people who got COVID-19 vaccines in Italy in July 2021. 15,300 plus had taken the Pfizer vaccine, 2,000 took the Moderna version, 1,600 took the AstraZeneca version. Both Pfizer and Moderna are mRNA vaccines. The other uses a different mechanism to trigger the immune response. Well, the study found, and again, Epic is reporting it, but it's based upon a study published in the journal Vaccines. It found that 31.2% of vaccinated individuals develop post-vaccination neurological complications, and particularly among those injected with the AstraZeneca jab. He pointed out different vaccines have a different neurological risk profile. And for the AstraZeneca vaccine, headaches, tremors, muscle spasms, insomnia, tinnitus, and the risk profile of the Moderna vaccine included sleepiness, vertigo, double vision, a feeling of numbness or itching on the skin, taste and smell alterations, and a hoarseness or loss of normal voice. You know, I have had a difficulty with my voice for some time, well after getting my shot and then booster. And I only took the shot to begin with because I'd promised my children that I would, because we had a close relative, younger than me, come down with COVID and die rapidly. And my children insisted, Dad, you've got to get the shot, especially since you're, my children know what I do. I'm not hiding anything. Since you're in and out of bars, the biker bars, and nobody's bothering to cover up or mask up and all this, yeah, I still am, so they wanted me to get the shot. Didn't have any real reaction to the first nor the second. Still came down with COVID, got a booster shot, came down with COVID. But I have had, and I couldn't pinpoint the timing, but my voice has been, I think in many cases, altered, sometimes feeling thin. Sometimes I just relate that to sinus and a cold. That happens as well. So I'm not trying to make a case for myself, but I'm just saying we all can find things in here. Then we begin to look like, it's kind of like looking at a horoscope in the morning, and then you look for things throughout the day that will help fit that horoscope. Or you read it late in the day and you look back and say, oh yeah, that's it. You know, you find a causal relationship that really doesn't exist. You fabricate it. I'm not saying you fabricate anything that you might have suffered, but then again, sometimes we all tend to have this mode of, we basically pass along some information and suddenly, oh, I got that too. And you may well have it. I'm not denying it. But this does get back to the issue that these were rushed to market. And there was a good reason for the warp speed at that point. Trump said, cut the red tape, get them to the market as soon as possible. And I have no doubt lives were saved by these vaccines. But we also know that if you're going to rush them, you don't have the years of evidence to back up what they do or don't do. That's just a fact. Doesn't mean it's necessarily dangerous to you or your family, but they don't have the years of study to base anything on. How many medicines have you gone to take or something and it has a long, long, double long paragraph of complications you might suffer? You're thinking, well, I'd rather go without the medicine if it's going to give me a chance of one of these. But at that point, the nation, the world was frightened. We did not know what it was exactly. We were lied to then by our administration, by Dr. Fake, who is passing the information on to Trump and then later to Biden, lied to about the validity of the mask and how well they would work, lied to about the vaccines. Everybody was of the belief that if I get the vaccine, you remember clearly I've had it run for you previously. The MSNBC Rachel Maddow. It's simple. You get the shot, you don't get the vaccine. It stops. Well, that turned out to be false as hell, didn't it? I could blame her, but she was acting again upon the information Dr. Fake and the rest of them were giving. They point out that about 16% of those who got Moderna shots had vertigo. In other words, you sometimes feel as if you're spinning, can't keep your balance. Sometimes lasting for a day, sometimes longer. The feeling of numbness and itchiness on the skin in about 14%+ of Moderna vaccine recipients. Normally that goes away, they say, within a day. Just under 3% reporting double vision, also lasting maybe a day. Brain fog is something else they logged in here, is a foggy brain state, a lack of intellectual clarity, difficulty with concentration, mental fatigue, anxiety. And here's another point in this study. Females. The study found that females faced an increased risk of developing neurological complications following the COVID-19 vaccination. Now, of course, if you don't know what gender you are, well, then you may not be bothered at all. Or what if you're a man who has transgendered to a woman? Are you going to be bothered more? Separate questions, issues all the way. But for women who are know they're women by birth and are women, they found that several factors were apparently causing neurological complications for women. And they indicated that that might be because of genetic and hormonal factors. Females have two X chromosomes, while males have only one, and one Y. I mean, that's nature. You can't get that past the those who believe that a man can be a woman and give birth to a baby. They'll never understand that. And then you also have to look at comorbidities that were present among those who took the jabs. Of the AstraZeneca vaccine recipients, about 48% had some type of comorbidity. 39% who took Moderna jabs had it, and about 41.5% of those with Pfizer shots did. And, of course, that then could also affect various things. One cardiologist writing about the study said a shocking 31% of respondents to this database sustained neurological injury after two injections with verified data in health registries. Most of the risk estimates indicate the safety profile is unacceptable. It is alarming that all neurological societies to date still recommend COVID-19 vaccines. None have issued safety warnings on the products. That's a key point. None have issued safety warnings on their products. Any other product you buy, doesn't it have a safety warning of some type? Yes. And who wrote this? Cardiologist Dr. Peter McCullough, who's often been raising questions about these vaccines and the studies that were or were not done. And there's one other thing here that I take note of only because I saw it in a man the other day. I thought maybe he had a toothache of some type. Right side of his jaw, really enlarged cheek, maybe a toothache, or maybe he was chewing tobacco. I didn't know. And when he tried to talk, it's kind of hard to move his lips. He said, I've been diagnosed with Bell's palsy. And this study found that individuals who took the mRNA vaccination were reported to have, not all of them, keep in mind, not all of them, were reported to have Bell's palsy. That's where facial muscles weaken or enter into paralysis. This guy is pretty big, strapping, generally health, overweight by a considerable amount, but still moves as most anyone would his age. I have no way of knowing if the vaccine had some effect upon him to that extent or not. But at least now you have an understanding, maybe, or at least you have, like me, more questions. All right, I want to turn the corner and go back to the issue of the Palestinians and where they're going to go. We know Egypt is not going to let Palestinians in. They do not want the Palestinians inside their country. They're right there at the Rafah Gate. That's the southern end of Gaza. And they're trying to get out of the advancing troops coming from the north, the Israeli troops. The Israeli troops are not hunting down Palestinian civilians, but they can get caught in crossfire between Hamas terrorists and are held up as a shield against Israeli attacks. So they want to get out. Egypt will not take them. Will not take them nor any other Arab countries for two reasons. One, there's a belief that if they leave Gaza, Palestine will cease to exist. The Palestinian population will cease to exist. That's really a false argument because they also live in the West Bank. There are Palestinians there as well. Even the West Bank is not offering to take in these Palestinians. The West Bank is on the eastern side of Israel. Gaza is on the western side between a part of the Mediterranean and Israel. But they can't get to the West Bank except by going south into Egypt, and Egypt will not allow them in. An Israeli government ministry now has drafted a wartime proposal to transfer the Gaza Strip's 2.3 million at last count to Egypt's Sinai Peninsula. And yet it's already getting condemnation from Palestinians, and it's not helping relations between Israel and Egypt, Cairo in specific. The Prime Minister's office has played down the report compiled by the Intelligence Ministry as a hypothetical exercise, a concept paper. But the conclusions deepen long-standing Egyptian fears that Israel wants to make Gaza Egypt's problem. And it's revived for Palestinians memories of their trauma, the uprooting of hundreds of thousands who fled or forced to flee their homes during the fighting surrounding Israel's creation in 1948. So the spokesman for the Palestinian president said, "We are against transfer of any to any place in any form, and we consider it a red line we will not allow to be crossed." They say a mass displacement would be tantamount to declaring a new war. The document is dated October 13, 6 days after Hamas militants killed more than 1,400 in southern Israel and took more than 240 hostages. And of course, that then resulted in the war of Israel against Gaza. Again, in this theory of this presentation is that three alternatives, and one of them would be moving Gaza's civilian population to tent cities in northern Sinai, then building permanent cities in an undefined humanitarian corridor. A security zone would also be established inside Israel to block Palestinians from re-entering. Something's going to have to be done. You can't just force these people into the sea. Maybe once Israel feels that it has defeated Hamas enough that it cannot really regroup, although they will always come back in one form or another, then maybe there'll be a chance for the Palestinians to stay in Gaza in one area, but under stricter control and a watchful eye. As always, thank you for listening. Remember our pledge, one nation under God.